Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We're so thankful and blessed that you have chosen to worship our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us here this morning. Just a couple brief announcements before we begin our time of worship. If you have purchased a lily in memory or in honor of someone, please don't forget after the service to pick up that lily and take it home with you to commemorate the loved one in memory or in honor of them. Also, on the back of your bulletin, please notice with me there's a couple just announcements real quick I want to highlight. Vacation Bible School, June 16th through the 20th. Please make note of that date. We had to make some adjustments due to all of the school days being canceled due to the weather this year. And from now until the Wednesday before, we will be meeting in the Fellowship Hall Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock to make all the decorations and make all the preparations for that vital outreach ministry. So if you're able to come be a part of the decoration making, please join us on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. This year marks the 100th year of Trinity being here at 200 East Madison Street. Later this fall, we are going to commemorate this milestone, having a celebration, and we have a committee that is being headed up by Charlene Miller. Charlene is right down here in the front, and if you would like to be a part of that committee in preparation and just, you know, be involved in that way, please see Charlene Miller about that. If you would, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Come, let us shout for joy. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and sing. For the Lord our God is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, he has made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for this Easter morning where we celebrate the empty tomb. We celebrate the risen Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Father, we commit this service into your care. We pray that you would prepare our minds, our hearts, and our souls, that you might just move our hearts and open our minds, just touch us with your Spirit. We invite your Holy Spirit to come, that you might just impact us, forever change us and transform us, that you might move our feet in new directions in life. So, Father, may everything that is done here this morning be pleasing and honorable in your sight, and we commit this morning into your care. May you be praised and extolled and honored and exalted. For you and you alone are the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the risen Christ you are. We bless you and honor you. In the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. There my sins are washed away from the heaven's mercy streams of the Savior's love for me. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Again, I will rise from waters deep to the saving arms of God. I will sing salvation songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Take away the melodies. Take away the song I sing. Take away all the light and all the songs you let me write. Does the man I am today say what you need to say? Let them see you in me. Let them hear you when I speak. Let them feel you when I say. Let them hear you. Let them see you in me. Thank you.
life, I'm not afraid. Take it all, take everything. Let them see you and me. Let them hear you when I speak. Let them feel you when I sing. Let them see you. Let them see you in me. With every breath I breathe, sing a simple melody, but I pray they'll hear more than a song in me, in me. Let them see you in me. Let them hear you when I speak. Let them feel you when I sing. Let them see you.
Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through sixth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you, and you can meet Joanna at the door, and she will take you to your classroom, and you will have a wonderful time there. I just want to wish everyone here a happy, blessed Easter this morning. And it's my hope and my heart's desire that you truly meet the risen Christ. You truly are impacted by His grace, His mercy, His love, and His truth here this morning. What a wonderful, blessed Easter. We have just a wonderful weather today. And you know, friends, Easter is the time we remember Jesus' resurrection from the dead. I want us to all understand that the significance of this event in history is profound and it's central to the entire scope of the human experience. My personal belief is that I feel that we often fail to grasp the depth and practical nature of the resurrection of Jesus and how it has something for each one of us and our individual lives. We often overlook it and we just go about our daily life and we omit the essential aspect of the resurrection of Christ. My hope here this morning is that over the next several weeks, as we unpack this next series titled Cries from the Cross, we will begin to apply various practical, life-changing elements in our daily lives. You may ask that if we celebrate the resurrection today, why focus upon the crucifixion? And the answer to that is very simple and it's concise, namely that there is no glorification without suffering. You have to get through the cross and go through the cross before you get to the empty tomb. And many times we just want the empty tomb. We only want those things and we don't want to focus upon the crucifixion of Christ. So we must go through the cross to reach the empty tomb. And as we journey through the cross and experience the empty tomb and all its implications for our lives over the next several weeks and even today, my hope and my prayer is that we will hear these seven cries from the cross that Jesus uttered as he was hanging on the cross. And we will unpack these powerful, you know, words that Jesus spoke and how they impact your life and my life. This past week was Holy Week in the church calendar, and the setting is this, and this is where we find ourselves. Jesus has traveled into Jerusalem on a donkey to the crowd's praises and shouts of, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!" He enters the temple, and he turns over the tables, and he drives out the animals while stating that his Father's house will be a house of prayer. Thursday, Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, or Holy Communion, with his intimate disciples that he met with. He's betrayed, and he's arrested, and he's given over to a trial, a mock trial at that, and then eventually he's turned over to Pontius Pilate, who orders him to be beaten and crucified. Jesus is led out to be crucified between two thieves at the place known as Golgotha or Calvary. He was crucified at 9 a.m., and he was on that cross until 3 p.m. For those 6 long hours, the Gospel of Mark tells us there was an extreme darkness over all the land. It has been said that death by crucifixion, it was very cruel, and it was often a lengthy process. The statement has been made that those who were crucified died 1,000 deaths, not just one, because those being crucified often died of suffocation. And so they died 1,000 different times. And yet in the midst of that suffering, in the midst of that horrible pain, our Lord and our risen Savior Jesus, he utters these 7 statements while he was on the cross. And these statements, they carry great implications for you and me today. And let us learn and apply and grow as we unpack these 7 cries from the cross. If you have your Bibles, and I certainly hope you have, please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. This morning we're going to look at one single verse, and this is the first in the series of the 7 cries from the cross. Luke chapter 23, verses 34. And if you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 1641. Follow along as we read Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And he divided up his clothes by casting lots. I want us to notice 3 things from this single verse. And the first is the request of Jesus. When he utters these words hanging on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." I want us to understand the heart of Christ, our risen Savior, the living Lord, the first and the last, the one whom all things were created through, by, and for, Jesus Christ. And it's a heart of forgiveness. It's a heart of purity. It's a heart of truthfulness. It's a heart of yearning for what is best for you and for me. It's not a heart of selfishness. As the men were pounding the nails in his hands and in his feet, he's uttering these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Friends, this is a prayer. This is the prayer of your Lord for you and for me and for all those at that present time who were nailing him to the cross and hanging him on a tree. It's a prayer. It's a cry of his heart to release or to forgive all of those who were crucifying him. I want us to know that it speaks of the immediate context, but also it speaks to the larger context. The immediate context would have been the Roman soldiers, Pontius Pilate, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the religious leaders that had ushered him up to this point. And he's asking that the Lord God, the Holy Father, the one who lives and is in eternity, to forgive them. But friends, the larger context, it includes you and me. We're told in Scripture that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become his righteousness. And so your sin, my failures, your faults, my flaws, friends, that is exactly what put Jesus on that cross. It's all of us together. In the heart of Christ, it's a heart of saying, "Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." The larger context, friends, is the forgiveness of all people who receive the gift of forgiveness from Jesus. And that includes you and me. And you see, Jesus knew what was at stake, and he knew the depth of the scope which would have to be taken to effect the radical act of love manifesting itself in forgiveness for those who accept it. You see, Jesus' act of love, and it was radical. It was truly a radical act of love when he said, "I'm going to lay down my life for you." Greater love is no man than if they lay down their life for another. Jesus is love incarnate, and it deals with forgiveness. Ephesians 1:17 tells us, In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, friends, it is through Jesus' shed blood that we receive the forgiveness of sins. And you may be sitting there thinking, what on earth does this have to do with me? How does this apply to you and me? Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus' prayer was a prayer for you and for me, since our sin and my sin put Jesus on the cross. It's through the sacrificial act of Jesus laying down his life for you and for me in a sort of way. He traded places with us. He took the pain. He took the consequences. And he allows us to receive the reward. He became sin, which you and I were slaves to. However, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you still are a slave to sin. So if you have trusted in Jesus, if you've accepted his gift of forgiveness as your Lord and Savior, then you have the opportunity to become the righteousness of God in Christ. To put it succinctly, Jesus took the wrath and we get the reward. And I'm not talking about just a reward in eternity, a reward in heaven. Yes, that's included, but I'm talking about a reward here on this earth, a reward for the here and now. And it's the very reason why the resurrection is essential to Christian belief, because the wrath of God passed over Jesus. And that signified that his sacrifice was accepted, and it was acceptable to a holy God. You see, if the tomb was still filled with the bones of Jesus, then that would have told us that his sacrifice was not accepted by God the Father. You see, the resurrection is central to all we believe, all that we attest to, because it signifies to you and to me that what Jesus did, it was paid in full, it was done, and it was complete. One of the other cries from the cross is tetelestai, and it means it is finished. It's complete, it's done, it's over. Meaning there's no more sacrifice that needs to be made. Jesus did it all. And because he took the wrath and we get the reward, and God passed over Jesus and he accepted his sacrifice and raised him from the dead and was accepted by a holy God, then you and I, we have the opportunity to receive what Jesus' life represented. It was a life of purity, a life of truthfulness, a life of peacefulness, a life filled with love, a life acknowledgement of acceptance by a holy God. It was a life of purpose and a life of meaning. And the list goes on and on and on. And what God wants for you and for me is he wants us to trade our hopeless life for the life that he offers for you and for me. And that's the reward, friends. It's a reward. So why is forgiveness so important? Forgiveness is essential. In our world, we have what we call life coaches, and what a life coach does is they work with an individual and allow them to work through struggles in their life. It's been said by these life coaches that when people get stuck, often the cause of why they get stuck is because they have not dealt with the issue of forgiveness in their life. I want you to hear that. When people get stuck in life and they can't make more progress and they can't go any further and they're always struggling with different things, most of the time what these life coaches say is that there's an issue of unforgiveness in their heart and soul that they have never dealt with. That's huge, friends. It's huge. Jack Osman of Towson University Health Science Department, he writes in an ongoing column titled The Wellness Corner, and he writes of the possibility of being stuck in life because of undealt with unforgiveness. Listen to the words he writes. Have you ever felt as if you were at a standstill in life, spinning wheels and making no progress? Is there too little laughter in your life? Do you frequently feel depressed or unhappy, complacent? Do you experience emotional hurt without apparent reason? Perhaps you have some unfinished forgiveness business to take care of. Carrying a grudge emotionally is like to physically hooking your foot around the leg of a chair and dragging it everywhere you go. Additional unforgiveness piles up more chairs to drag around until you and I, we take that stock emotionally, and we can find ourselves dragging around the entire dining room set. Friends, it's tough to make progress in life under those circumstances. I want you all to know that sometimes we have forgiven and we don't have any unforgiveness that we need to give in our life. But many times we never receive the full forgiveness that God wants to lavish upon your heart and your soul and your life and my life. And this is the exact reason why the cross is essential to the empty tomb. We see the heart of Christ. Sometimes we fail to fully receive the fullest forgiveness from Jesus. And sometimes we don't even forgive ourselves when Christ, God incarnate, has says, "You are forgiven." And yet we hold ourselves hostage and we punish ourselves and we beat ourselves up and we don't allow ourselves to have the freedom that Jesus wants you and I to have. We don't allow ourselves to experience the joy and the abundant life that Jesus has come so that you and I can experience and have. You see, when we fail to accept and receive the gift of Jesus Christ in our heart, life, and our soul, we will truly be stuck. We will be stuck in life patterns which can be destructive. We will be stuck in life where there's no hope, there's no peace, there's no future. And friends, if you truly desire to move forward in your life this Easter season, deal with forgiveness. Deal with it. Meet it head on. Deal with it and start with the forgiving God, the loving Lord Jesus, who says, "Father, forgive them." Receive the fullest forgiveness that you and I could ever receive, namely the forgiveness of a holy God who is Jesus. And then give forgiveness as you and I have been forgiven. The second thing that we can see from this verse is the reality of all people. And notice with me at the end of this verse, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And then they divided up his clothes by casting lots. That last phrase of that verse, I believe it shows the state of most people in our world. Many people are so preoccupied with the stuff of this world, with the things of this world, the cares of this world. They're so preoccupied with these things in this world that they miss the bigger picture of what God is doing. I want you to picture this. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, dying on a cross. And you have a group of individuals who are more concerned with these material possessions that we call clothes, and they're totally missing what God is doing upon the cross. It doesn't make sense. My friends, we do it every day. We miss the depth of God's forgiveness for these trivial little experiences. We miss the depth of God's heart for these enjoyments that will pass away like the sun goes down every day. We miss the depth of the truth and the heart of God's love filling our souls and totally giving us the complacency and assurance and the validation that we are sons and daughters of God. For all the things of the world clamoring for us time and time and time and time and time again, we miss what God is doing. As I mentioned, just ponder that. Think about it. The Son of God was dying on the cross at Calvary, and yet those present were more concerned about dividing up some material possession versus what God was doing. Kyle Eidelman, in his book, God's at War, he makes a statement this way. He says, "We must stop trying to feed our souls with things meant only for our physical bodies." You see, I'm going to tell you what your soul is craving for. Every soul is craving for the same thing. I'm going to tell you what it's craving for today. And it's craving for the forgiveness of Jesus. It's the only thing which will truly and totally satisfy the longing of your inner being. And until that longing of your inner being is totally satisfied, you and I, we're going to flit around, moving from here to there, doing all these things, trying to get that inner need, that inner desire filled. And friends, the answer is in Jesus. The answer is in the forgiveness of Christ. The answer is in his prayer. "Father, forgive them. Forgive them." Your soul is craving for the peace which comes from the Prince of Peace, who is Jesus. Your soul is craving for a connection with the Holy God that you and I were meant to be in a relationship with. We must stop being sidetracked. We have to be stopped being moved around from our own inner desires. We have to set our faces like flint and move toward Christ and receive the only longing thing that will satisfy our souls. We must be stopped being oblivious to the better gifts that Jesus has to offer and forfeiting them for the temporal. We must stop sacrificing the eternal for the temporal. Friends, this is where we see the result of the resurrection, which is our third and final point this morning. It's the result of the resurrection. I want to give you two results here this morning. The result of the resurrection, it promotes and provides a sense of peace, a peace with the holy God, that longing that you and I and all people are created with, that inner desire and that thing inside of you and me that will never be satisfied here in this world, because you and I, we were all created with a God-shaped void in our heart, and we try to stuff it with things of this world. We try to fill it with stuff of this place, and it will never last. It will never satisfy. It will never promote a sense of peace with the holy God. It will never promote a peace, an inner peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. It will never promote a peace with our world because of our knowledge that Jesus has overcome it. Friends, this is the peace that begins with forgiveness. You see, everything we do is connected with our relationship with God the Father. Everything that we do hinges upon how we relate to a holy God. If we're at peace with the Lord, and if you are in Christ and you believe in Jesus, you, my friends, are at peace with Christ, and you're at peace with the Lord. And if you're at peace, then everything you do will emit a sense of peace. If you are not at peace, then everything you do will not be filled with peace. That's reality, because we live out of our relationship with Christ. We live out of our relationship with the Lord. And how we are impacted by a living God, a loving Lord, and Jesus Christ, our Savior, it will impact our relationships. It will impact our work. It will impact all that we do. And it begins with the forgiveness of Christ. It begins with you and me receiving this forgiveness of God through Christ, which the resurrection gives proofs that is available. Because God's wrath has passed over, we no longer need to fear nor worry that God's wrath is going to come down upon us. That's why Romans 8:1 says, "There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Perfect love casts out all fear." God is love. And because God is love, the fear is gone. The wrath has been dealt with. Jesus dealt with that. We have that forgiveness. And it begins with you and I receiving it. Receiving the forgiveness of God through Christ. No resurrection, friends, no forgiveness. And I'll say that again. No resurrection, no forgiveness. For without the resurrection, the wrath of God, it would still stand. But in Christ Jesus, we can experience the peace that surpasses all understanding and the peace which this world does not know. The second thing that is a result of the resurrection is a path, and it's a path to the way to heaven. And yes, no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them, but Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through Christ. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. And so, it's a path to heaven. It's a path to a new way of life. It's a path to a new way of living. And friends, the path to a new way of life, it starts with receiving God's gift in Christ Jesus. And don't dismiss it. Don't sit there and say that I have received God's forgiveness. Maybe you've just cut yourself short. Maybe I've just cut myself short. Maybe we need to thank our living Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. There are things. His mercies arise new every morning, but there are things in our life that every individual in here can ask for forgiveness for. This new life is a life filled with freedom. It's filled with joy and peace and love, and it's the life the Lord Jesus bought and paid for you and me some 2,000 years ago at Calvary. It's a life which begins with receiving the forgiveness of a holy God named Jesus. This forgiveness of Jesus, when received, it will always include the way to heaven and the way to have and possess eternal life. As I mentioned, Jesus said, no one will come to the Father except through him. Why? Because only in Christianity is the tomb empty, and only in Christianity has the wrath of a holy God passed over, providing for you and for me an opportunity to travel a path that was never before afforded to you and for me. That's huge. The door has been opened. The opportunity is here. A path to a new way of life, a path to experiencing those things that God wants you to experience, a path that we can allow the Lord to change, to mold, to shape, to allow us to be and experience those things that He wants us to be. I don't know where you're at with your faith here this morning, but I'm just going to challenge all of you. The scripture says that if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and notice the central aspect of the resurrection, and confess in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the resurrection is central to belief. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that the tomb is empty, then the promise is you will be saved. My challenge is this. Some of us might find us, you know, needing that prayer of forgiveness. We might have wandered and wavered and veered off of the path. Some of us might find us being distracted with what God is wanting to do, and we're over here dealing with our own desires and our own wants and our own yearnings. Some of us might be receiving the forgiveness, the true forgiveness of what God has for you and for me. My challenge is to check your heart. Check your heart. If you've never accepted and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, my challenge for you is to right now, right here, confess with your lips, believe in your heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And the promise is then the path will be opened up. Then the peace will flood your heart like you've never, ever, ever known before. That's the challenge, friends, and that's the beauty of the resurrection, the power of Christ to restore and bring new life into a life which was nothingness before. Let us pray. Gracious God, we humbly thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for your forgiveness. Jesus, we thank you for the challenge. We thank you, and we pray that we wouldn't take it lightly. We pray that you would just move us closer to you, that you ultimately would just be found close to us, that we would just grow in our relationship with you, Father, that you would be honored and praised and worshiped, and that the blessings and the results, the fruit of our walk and journey with you would be that our lives would be filled with peace and joy and abundant life and just filled with those good things that come from above and they come from you, Lord. Be filled with freedom, joy, and love, and truthfulness, and just absolute honesty. Jesus, we love you and we thank you. We thank you that you paid the price, but we thank you that nothing else was found in your heart but purity and love and goodness and mercy and truth. We thank you that your sacrifice was acceptable, and we thank you and we praise you that you rose from the dead, and because you did, we too as well can. Because you defeated sin and death, that it has no sting, it has no power over us anymore. We thank you, Father. May we bless you through our lives. May we receive all that you have for us here and from this day forward. We honor you and praise you. In the holy name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amazing grace. Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secure. As long as life endures, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine.
God's grace truly is amazing, and God truly does love you with unending love, and His desire is for you to experience the best in this life. As we close here, if anyone has made a public profession or a faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior for the first time, please see me. If anyone else is here that needs help in their journey with Christ, please see me. We would love to walk with you as you journey with the living Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And now may the God who is love incarnate, may He love your heart and your soul and fill you with His truth, His peace, and His mercy. And may you truly receive the goodness and the forgiveness of what God has for you. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart in peace. Amen.